Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the 25th chapter of the book of Acts, we have the record of the appearance of the Apostle Paul before two men, one named Festus and the other Agrippa. And we read there the sermon that was preached to Agrippa. And at the end of that sermon, Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Friend, it's a sad thing when a person has the opportunity to become a child of God, and for whatever reason or excuse refuses to do so. Those who live and die outside of Christ, they suffer a threefold loss. They suffer the loss of the best life that one can live here upon this earth. And they suffer the loss of heaven, because they'll be prohibited from entrance therein. And also they suffer the torment of an eternal hell because of their rebellion against God. In view of this, we are made to wonder why Agrippa, why anyone, would not become a Christian. Who was Agrippa? Well, according to Acts chapter 25, he was a king. His territory of rule was east and northeast of the Sea of Galilee. He was an Idumean by origin, a member of the Herod family, and that was a very important family in the New Testament events. But this family, though they were not Jews, they had adopted, at least seemingly or formally, the religion of the Jews. At least they appeared to have adopted it. There was a political party that was called the Herodians that was strongly nationalistic, and they supported the Herod family. But those supporters hoped for an independence from Rome, not realizing that actually the Herod family ruled by the appointment from Rome. But this Herod family, they had been very antagonistic toward Christianity. Agrippa's aunt was named Herodias. She was the adulteress that was condemned by John the Baptist. His uncle, Herod Antipas, had ordered the beheading of John the Baptist, and he was the one before whom Jesus stood and suffered humiliation. His father, Herod Agrippa I, he had killed James to please the Jews. He had had Peter imprisoned for the same reason. And thus Herod died suddenly, because allowing himself to be praised as a god, it was his great-grandfather, Herod the Great, who was extremely ruthless and bloodthirsty. He was the one that caused the slaughter of infants in Bethlehem area about the time of Christ. And he had two sisters that hardly were commendable. One of them, named Drusilla, was married to Felix, who sought to get Paul to give bribes unto him, seeking his release. And the other sister, Bernice, she was an oft-married and stronger suspected of living in an incestuous relationship with Agrippa, even as Paul preached to him. She was present, by the way, at this time when Paul was preaching to Agrippa. So their record of upholding righteousness was not good at all. This was a wicked family. Nominally, they held the Jewish laws, but they were wicked, they were immoral, they were a bloody people. They upheld the Jewish religion in name only for political reasons rather than for righteousness' sake. Therefore, they were bitterly opposed to the way of Jesus Christ. And what did Agrippa know about Christ? You see, before one can become a Christian, he must hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Hearing precedes faith, and it precedes obedience. Agrippa could have known a great deal about Christ, however, from three different sources. One, he knew of him through the Old Testament prophets. Paul asked, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Now this meant that he could know that a Messiah was promised and would be born of a virgin, and he could know it would be of the house of David, and that he would be born in Bethlehem. They would suffer and die and be entombed. He could know that he would be raised from the dead. All of this was foretold in the Old Testament. He could know that Christ would ascend into heaven and would be made King of kings and Lord of lords, and that he would come again. All these things are mentioned by the prophets of old. regarding the Savior that would come from Abraham's seed. Not only could Agrippa know these things, Paul said he believed these things, and he could know of Christ because of Christ's own ministry and his own fame. In Acts chapter 26, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." Friend, the life, the works, the teaching of Jesus was widely heralded throughout Palestine and the surrounding areas. His fame had spread rapidly. Multitudes knew about Christ, and they followed him. There was not a secret mission by Jesus Christ. It was well known. Agrippa knew all about it. He was the king of the land. He could know that Jesus had fulfilled the prophecies of which the prophets had spoken. And he could also know of Christ from the preaching of Paul. Paul preached Jesus to this man. This was why Paul was compelled to stand before him. You see, Paul was a prisoner. Paul had been brought to Caesarea from Jerusalem because of the Jewish accusations against him and against his preaching. He had not been yet sentenced. He had only been accused. He had not yet been convicted of evil. He had violated no Roman law. Yes, he had violated some Jewish customs, and Felix wanted to have him tried and found guiltless, but Festus held him because Paul refused to be tried before the Jews. He knew he would receive no justice there. To escape certain death at the hand of the Jews, Paul therefore appealed unto Caesar as a Roman citizen. A Roman citizen had that right. And Agrippa was visiting Festus, the one that had replaced Felix, and they discussed Paul's case. Agrippa was asked then to hear Paul, and there was the need to find some reasonable accusation to level against Paul. Paul's defense before Agrippa, however, was mostly a proclamation of Jesus as the Christ. As Jesus had warned, the apostles would stand before royalty as well as the poor, and the apostle Paul did both. When Paul had opportunity to speak, he related how he once opposed the faith of Christ, like Agrippa. He told of his conversion and his turning from being a persecutor to a preacher, and it was for his preaching that he had been seized. In Acts chapter 26, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." But he cited that he only preached what Moses had said would come to pass. In Acts 26, "Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he would be the first that should be raised from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Paul preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is strange that as Festus heard the sermon of Paul, he accused Paul of going mad because of its much learning, and Paul was indeed a highly educated man. There's no doubt that some do not have a good sense because they receive so much education, but it's the wrong kind of education. But Paul knew that Agrippa understood just exactly what was being taught, and he knew it was true. And Agrippa needed to know what was right in order to believe in Christ, in order to obey him. He knew from the prophets. He knew from the ministry of Christ. He knew from Paul's preaching. Now, Paul never did tell this man to be baptized. Why not? In every conversion example of the New Testament, the people were told to be baptized, but not here. Why, this was because Agrippa never reached that point. He left the room, unwilling to inquire further. He did not believe enough to obey. Oh, yes, others who had heard the word, they believed it, they had obeyed it, they were saved. But this man didn't show that much concern. Yes, he knew the truth. He even believed the truth. He would even go further. Paul tried to persuade him. He said, I would to God that not only thou, but all those that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Agrippa later admitted that Paul had taught him correctly. And why did Agrippa turn away? Why did he not believe enough to obey? Well, it might have been his own pride. It might have been the pressure of his wicked family. We might speculate for hours as to the reasons as to why Agrippa got up, walked out. He came in a lost man. He left a lost man. He knew what to do, but he would not do it. But what a difference between almost and altogether a child of God. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Friend, there's no salvation out of Christ. He had the opportunity, but he let it pass. He was responsible before God. He heard the word, and he will be weighed in the balance and found wanting. It really doesn't matter anymore why he didn't obey, but whatever it might have been, it's going to cause his damnation. And what a shame. He was almost, but not altogether, a saved man. But was Agrippa any different from some even today? There be those who have heard the gospel, but they continue to reject Christ. Somehow or another, they want to continue to follow their denominational creeds. They want to do what their ancestors have done. They want to go their own way. They have their own preconceived anti-biblical, non-biblical ideas as to how God is going to treat them. Oh, yes, they're almost persuaded, but they're not persuaded. What can be justly said of Agrippa may well justly be said of some today who need to know the way of salvation is in Christ and that there is no other. Do you ever wonder what a lost man would give to have one more hour of opportunity? How that he would just, oh, if he could only hear one more invitation song? He's lost and doomed and damned eternally. How much he would give for the opportunity that he now has to obey the gospel, but he rejected. How much would Agrippa give now for a repeat of the scene when Paul stood before him? The lost would give 10,000 words for just one more chance to obey the gospel. Do you suppose Agrippa still thinks his reason for not becoming a Christian is valid? Do you really think he has made a good bargain to hold to his excuses and to suffer in eternal hell because he would not obey the gospel? Paul preached to him the things he needed to believe, and Agrippa believed those things that the prophets had foretold. Is that not reason enough for us to know that faith alone does not save? Oh, yes, he believed. Paul said he believed, but he did not obey. Unless your faith leads you to obey, your faith is a dead faith. Oh, we can see the folly of Agrippa. We cannot see sometimes the folly of many of us today, with the door open before us, and do not enter therein. Friend, we repeat over this program repeatedly. This is the purpose of our speaking to you day by day. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. The gospel of salvation must be obeyed, believed and obeyed. What makes one think that he's going to heaven if he ignores God's plan of salvation? Where did you get the idea that you are the one to decide how to be saved? God tells us how to be saved. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism has been God's way since Pentecost. It's that way now, and it'll be that way until he comes again. Don't be just almost persuaded. Be altogether a child of God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.